Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Friar Talk early morning stream today. So let's get right into it, guys. I think it's just me right now. Maybe Chase or Isaac will come on. I know they were awake for the game, but I think they might be. I think they both went back to sleep, to be honest. But figured, you know, go live, talk about it. First things first, rough loss. You got the Jake Cronenworth. I don't know if it got labeled as an error. I think it probably did. Not his fault. Ball goes through his glove. Rough way to lose it. However, I think that's kind of like the scapegoat answer to a loss that is going to be mostly on the Padres offense. Let's be honest with everyone. Now, you know, I'll pull up the box scores here in a second, but like that was the biggest, you know, that was definitely the biggest play of the game. You get that double play. It's 2-2. Game's still going. We might probably not anymore. It's really about an hour after the game, but might have gone into extras. We might have, you know, we might have got to see some stuff like that. But really what I think this loss comes down to is a couple different things. One, pitching for the most part was excellent. Yu Darvish, now he didn't go that long into this game, but and he was kind of struggling to find some location at times, but he looked pretty good. His fastball was disgusting today. Tyler Glasnow didn't really look that great, to be honest. Like he was kind of all over the place. But I mean, overall, this loss came down to just errors. And it was really, you know, a lack of hitting. You pull up, you have four hits. Xander Bogaerts had two of those. He had the RBI. You have the bases loaded with no outs. Luis Campusano grounds into a double play. And then Tyler Wade ended up getting out on that one. I think I don't remember if he struck out or he grounded out right after that. I think he struck out, stranded the runner on third. And, you know, it was just a rough game offensively. Now you go to the other flip side and the bullpen was good. Brito looked bad, if we're being honest. He looked really bad. But the other thing that really hurt the Padres was a lot of walks, and a lot of those were because of pitching violations. They got to get that figured out right away. Now it's early on, so you know that's something that you're going to see guys kind of adjusting and whatnot. But I think they had four or five pitching violations, and like three of them ended up costing them runners. You had the Wade error that also hurt them a lot, but it looked like early season baseball. That's what it honestly looked like. You would have liked to see the lineup perform a little bit better because Glasnow didn't look that good today. And he's a fantastic pitcher. Don't get me wrong, but he looked off today and you didn't really take advantage of that. Got a couple walks. I think he walked like four guys. I want to say, I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head here, but I mean, overall this, I think everyone's going to look at it and go, they lost the game because of balling through Cronenworth's glove. But the real issue is that this offense isn't good. And this is why we keep hammering home. You got to add a Brandon Belt. You got to add a Tommy Pham. You got to add someone, whether it's a trade or whatever it is, you need more firepower in offense. Now today, not the best example. Cause like your main, maybe it is the best example actually, because the main guys in the lineup, they did nothing. Now you did have Bogaerts. He had a good game, two hits, Uribe, but Fernando 0-4, Cronenworth 0-4. Manny 0-3 with a walk. Kim 0-3 with a walk. The heart of the order wasn't there. And because of that, we saw one RBI on the whole game. So after you get through that core of the lineup, it's not good. So I think I'll start going through some comments now. But I think that was my main takeaway, was just like, man, like this lineup you're going to see a lot of losses like this. When you don't have offense, when you don't capitalize with a bases loaded opportunity, you're going to run into these issues. You're going to have games where your starters can't go long and you're going to lose these late games. And that's what we saw last year. You know, it was the same kind of situation where it's like, all right, man, this is like, you lose these close games. And right before the Padres lost the lead, they popped up on the screen. Padres were the worst team in the MLB in one run games last year. Now this wasn't a one run game, but it had that feel to it. It's a close game. You know, it was 1-0, then it was 1-1, then it was 2-1. And that was up until the eighth inning. So it was a one run game. It was either tied or a one-run game, seven innings through the game. So it was a rough one. I see some different comments in here. Yuki Matsui, that he was balling. He was great. I mean, it's not like everyone in the Padres pitching-wise was bad. Like, most of the guys came in and did good. Cosgrove didn't look that great. De Los Santos, he looked pretty good. Matsui, yeah, he looked good. Peralta looked good at first. And then I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way, but I hate when they have a pitcher close out an inning, right? And then he comes in to start the next inning and you know he's only going to see one or two batters. Like this is what happened to Peralta. You saw him come in. He's going to see one batter, right? The guy gets on and then they pull him. Well, then you immediately put Brito in a spot where he's not coming in like a normal reliever and he's coming in a weird spot. He's coming in where there's a guy on base and you're looking at it, you're like, all right, this isn't his runner, but he comes in. There's no outs. There's a guy on first base. And it's like, all right, he's in a bad spot. He's has a guy on base. And then he had a violation, I want to say. And then he ends up walking someone. He walks someone else. And then it's like, okay, now you're in a horrible situation. And a lot of that is because you're not coming in to an inning where it's a clean inning. You're not coming into that. So I don't like when they do that. I feel like more often than not, trying to get that righty-righty or lefty-lefty matchup for one batter to start the inning, I feel like it doesn't work out. Now, you get the one guy out. All right, cool, whatever. You know, the other guy needs to come in, only needs to get two outs, and, you know, you already got him. But when you don't, when that guy gets on, it just puts the other pitcher, unless he's a guy like we saw this with Tim Hill. Tim Hill was awesome when he would come on with a bunch of guys on base. He was really good with that. He liked that pressure. He was good with that. But unless you're a guy like that, it seems like it hurts more than it helps. And a guy like Brito, like, he's more of a starting pitcher. He's, you know, he's going to be – he should – I mean, we'll see, because he looked pretty bad. But up until this point, we kind of thought, like, yeah, he probably won the fifth spot in the rotation. And that was kind of where it was at. See, Darvish was pulled too early. I don't think Darvish was pulled too early. I mean, it's just early on in the season. They don't want to stretch him out. He's an older dude. Not worth in this one to keep pushing him. Maybe he goes four innings in that one, but like they're probably not going to push him past four or five. So they took him out, you know, just because of where they were at. Heart of the order combined 0 for 17. That's not good. Let's see what else we got. You Darvish 72 pitches in 3 2/3 inning. I think it's fine to pull him in that spot. Bases loaded DP. Yeah. I mean, that's another factor. So I think everyone's going to look at this game and be like, oh, the Padres lost because the ball went through Carter Ward's glove. I mean, the Padres lost. Yeah, you couldn't put it into that one thing, but they lost because they had four hits. They lost because they had four pitching violations and what was it? 9 walks, I want to say. Yeah. 9 walks, 4 pitching violations. Like, dude, that is brutal. Let's see what else we got here. JD Martinez, RBI machine. Dude, that would be a good pickup. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, you just need more offensive firepower. You need that really bad. Let's see what else we got over here. Pitch clock should be 20 seconds. Yeah, it was funny that the first batter of the MLB season gets on, and Mookie Betts, he gets on a pitch clock violation. I saw people were cracking up about that. But yeah, man, it was kind of a boring game, if we're being real. I was pumped that baseball was back. It was fun to watch. But overall, like, it was just, I don't know. And I see people talking about Brito, Morahone. Morahone didn't look very good either. Like, and that's a problem, though. When your starting pitcher doesn't go four innings, and like I said, I think it makes sense. It's just early in the season why you're pulling him. His pitch count's pretty high. But when you go 3 2/3 innings, one or two of your guys is probably going to get rocked out of the bullpen. That's just the reality. You had 1, 2, 3, 7 relief pitchers come to the game in this one. You're going to have one or two guys that doesn't look that good. And that's why, like, sorry, I don't know if you guys can hear this. They're doing, like, construction on my wall, so it's super loud. I'll turn the mic down and try to talk closer, but it's probably not the best background noise. But, yeah, we're going to, you know, and this is true, man. We're going to miss Soto in this lineup this season. We definitely are. They need to add pop to the lineup, or we're going to see a lot of similar losses to this where it's, all right, you're winning in the game and yeah, you're going to have the bullpen's going to come through and be clutch sometimes, but there're going to be times when it's not the case. And when you're not, you know, when you're not getting those insurance runs, like late in the game and your core of your lineup isn't hitting good, it's going to be tough. That's why JD Martinez, Brandon Belt, like guys like that, like they're going to be very impactful to this team. And they might not have a lot of value to some other teams, but when you don't have a lot of offensive firepower and you can just plug a guy in to be a DH or, you know, put him at first base or whatever that is, that's going to look a lot better. So I think that we'll see what tomorrow looks like too. Yamamoto, obviously it's going to be interesting to see him. I mean, I'm super pumped to just watch his stuff because I haven't really seen it outside of like clips from spring training. And when he was like an option to get signed, but you know, $300 plus million man right there. Pitching first game tomorrow. So it's gonna be sick. We get to see Jabba Joe on the mound as well. I think I'll get into Jackson Merrill in a second here. I think another thing that I was kind of thinking of in this one was you have Tyler Wade starting at third base, and he had a costly error. He did, but he also made a diving play. He had a couple rough at bats, but he also had a hit. He also walked. He scored a run. Like, you saw some pros and cons, but even with that, like, this isn't really much of a Tyler Wade discussion. I would rather see a Graham Pauly and Iggy Rosario platoon at third base. if you're going to have that spot for, you know, open for a month or whatever, and you're not going to add a bat, let the young guys play. And that's been like, that's my thought on that. It's just because like, yeah, like we've talked about like Jackson Merle being rushed a little bit early, but if you're going to go with the mindset of yet to let the young guys play, then why not have a platoon of those two guys at third base or in the infield, or put them, I know they want to keep Xander Bogaerts like as an everyday second baseman, but your best defensive lineup is probably Kim at third, Xander at short, Cronenworth at second, someone else at first, or have Cronenworth at first and have, you know, Eggy at second or Graham Pauly at third or, you know, whatever it is. But I don't think that having Tyler Wade out there really makes a lot of sense if like you're thinking, oh, let's let the young guys play. That's what this year is about. Would rather see that platoon a lot. What do you think about Jackson Merle? I mean, I thought Jackson Merle looked pretty nice. What did he finish with? Like 0-2, right? 0-3. He had some hard contact. He had a good at bat where we saw Tyler Wade advance to third base, ripped one in the center field, but he didn't really look overmatched against Glasnow. I thought that was a big thing. And, you know, this is the thing, like it's early on in the season. Like it's more about, it's not about the numbers as much for a guy like, especially like Jackson Merle, where it's like, does he look overmatched? Does he look like he can hang? He was fouling a bunch of Glasnow's pitches off. I thought he looked fine. I'm excited to see more of him. He looked, didn't really get like tested or anything in center. No one really got tested in like defensively outside of like a couple infield plays. And then Jerickson Profar had a great running catch, but he didn't really get tested in center. But I thought he, I don't know. I thought that he looked fine. Jackson doesn't really look ready, I'm afraid. I mean, yeah, I do think that's fair, but I don't think he looked overmatched at all. I do wonder, like, and this has been my whole, this has been our whole issue. We talked about this a lot. Does having him come up and not perform to like crazy expectations, does that mess with him? It can. And that's the concern. I don't think that, I mean, I don't think he looked overmatched though. I think that he was fine. He was fouling off a bunch of pitches. He was hanging in with Glasnow, who has some, he's one of the better pitchers in the game. Most of his issue is just that he's not healthy a lot. But he looked fine to me today, I think. He made some hard contact. You had a lot of hard contact in this game, or not a lot, but you had a couple guys. Campy had some hard contact. Fernando had some hard contact, but still, like your offense still was not good, and that was the thing. What else we got here? Yeah, you can't. This is exactly, you can't just expect to hold a one run lead against the Dodgers and expect it to hold. But overall, I think we'll be fine. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like I said, the thing is, I think it's going to come down to is, this offense needs more firepower, or we're going to see a lot of frustrating losses like this, where it's like, all right, man, like you're leading most of the game. One reliever kind of came in and blew it, and you passed up 3-4 opportunities to get some insurance runs. You get those insurance runs, the game changes a lot. You score 2 runs on 4 hits. That's not very good. So that's, I don't know. That was kind of my biggest things kind of looking into it right now. I see a lot of people talking about Morahone. Morahone didn't look that good. I don't like Morahone in this role where he comes in like 7th, 8th, 9th inning. He hasn't really ever been good at that. What he's good at doing is being, and maybe this is what they do because they don't have a left-hand starter. So what I would like to see them do with Morahone, because I still have faith in Morahone. I mean, Morahone's stuff, like when he's looking good, he has looked really good in the past. He's looked extremely dominant at times. The problem is he's very inconsistent. And the best thing I think that you can do with him is, you have, let's say Brito's your 5th starter, right? Or Waldron, either of them. Why not have Morahone set up to go every 5th day? He can't pitch that much, but you have him come in and you have them piggyback. That makes way more sense to me. And if he struggles and it's not working, then eventually you can send him down. But I don't think this is not the role that you put him in. He has not been good in these spots where, because he comes in and a lot of times he's off. And a lot of times he'll come in and he'll be good and he'll be good for a few innings and stuff. He's better in a longer relief role. Now, as a starter, that's the problem with Morahone, is like, I think he's a good pitcher, but as a starter, he's broken down. And as a one-inning reliever, he struggled because he's still inconsistent because he doesn't get consistent playing time. He's up and down. I mean, like he gets hurt all the time. So that's the thing where it's tough with him, is like, I think they just have to put him into a long reliever role, you know, have him come in every five days or whatever, have him pitch, you know, a few innings, maybe 3-4 innings, and do that with him. Because if you have him coming in and doing like these one inning spurts, he's not good in those spots. He's struggled a lot in those spots. So I see that. And I also see questions here. I think these go hand in hand. And I'd like to see what everyone listening thinks too. But where should we place Hosung Kim? I think 5th hitter is crazy. And then he also asks again, do you like Bogaerts as the first hitter? I think Bogarts is probably going to stay as your leadoff hitter because he's not been good as the two hitter, right? He wasn't good in those spots, in those RBI spots last year, though, and RBI today. But he is a good contact hitter. He's a good leadoff hitter type. The problem is that's kind of where Kim is too. Kim is also good in those spots. I think ideally you have a better bat that you can put it at the fifth spot and have Kim either probably hit six. I think that's ideal situation. Or you get a lefty and you replace your lefty with Cronenworth and you have Cronenworth move down the order and Kim and Cronenworth are sitting at 5-6 and you have a better bat hitting three because Cronenworth is not going to cut it as your three hitter. That's not – and we talked about this before. You're going to see him as the three hitter. Why? Because else it's going to be so many righties in a row. It's going to be five righties in a row or six righties in a row. It's going to just be way too many. But I don't think it's a good move. And I think X is a good leadoff hitter. But I don't know if you – like Kim's a good leadoff hitter too. They both are. But what happens – so what do you do if you're going to move Xander down to fifth? I think you'd probably rather have more at-bats out of Xander – and until proven otherwise, I think you'd rather have more at-bats out of Xander than Kim, at least starting out. So I don't know. I think either of them are good leadoff hitters, but like it's tough, man. And I think that it's going to just keep coming down to the same thing. They need more firepower on offense or we're going to see ugly losses like this a lot. Kim can lead off against lefties. I like that. Kim's great against lefties. So yeah, have him lead off against lefties. Maybe Bogarts goes and hits fifth there. Kim definitely steals a lot more bases. You're not going to see that out of Bogarts. However, there's a lot of speed on this team. And I think that's also something that we should see. We saw now Ohtani didn't manufacture a run for the Dodgers, but Ohtani came in and he had a liner. One, he beat out that double play and he was flying, dude. Ohtani has got some speed. I know he's pretty fast, but like he was flying. Mookie had that one where it got called back. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was umpire interference. That's why they called it back. They didn't really explain at all what happened, but I believe that's what went down. But it's like, I don't know. It's like, the Dodgers were running a little bit. They didn't really do that as much last year. Potter's got to run a lot more. You saw so many stolen bases last year. The Diamondbacks are the best example of that. Use that speed to your advantage. You got dudes that can fly. So I want to see them kind of be more aggressive on the base pass. There wasn't really room for that today. There wasn't a lot of guys on the base pass outside of a couple walks here and there. But you did end up getting a run where there was a wild pitch and Tyler Wade advances to second. Then you hit Jackson Merle hits the sacrifice. And then you have the Bogarts single that drives him in. That you need to manufacture a lot of runs like that. I also see some questions about Tatis. Did Tatis at bats look a little off today? Oh, where is it? Tatis's at bats look a little bit off today. I don't know if it's me, but he didn't look comfortable at the plate. I mean, he had the one where he like check swings it and he just grounds out. And you're like, all right. And then he like ripped one. And then, I mean, he had a couple like liners, but he didn't. I mean, he just looks like he's like kind of like pressing at the plate. Like he's looked like that. And he looked like that a lot at the end of last year, but he gets like that. He gets like that big time where he comes up and he's super aggressive. You want him to be aggressive though. That's the thing. Like, I would like to see him maybe not be as like first pitch swing, like happy, like, cause he kind of gets like that sometimes, but you want him taking hacks. You want him coming up, looking fastball and trying to take it yard. That's what you want from Tatis. That's where he does well. So I think sometimes you see that with Tatis is like, he's a little over aggressive. And it's like, you look at it and like, he'll have bad at bats and stuff like that. But I mean, that's his game. That's always been his game. He's up and down like that. And when he gets really hot, he's absolutely ridiculous. So I don't know if it was like he looks a lot different, but I think that when he's not performing, he looks like he's pressing a lot. And I think that's what we saw today, where it's like, you know, it's first game of the year. It's kind of, I mean, I'm not really prime time, but they're probably feeling like it's a little bit prime time. They're playing in a different country. It's a whole event for them. It's a pretty cool thing. And he wants to make a play. You know, he wants to go out there and do that. So I think you saw a little bit of that, like just kind of looking like that. Also, he likes to do that against the Dodgers too, where he's kind of like looking to make big plays, looking to make flashy plays, stuff like that. Hoping for a 21 Tatis start slow, then absolutely explodes. That's what he kind of does. Like he'll go through these little slumps, then he figures out, and then he gets rolling. The big thing for Tatis, and it's not like his numbers have really ever been bad or anything like that, but he'll go through these ugly slumps sometimes. And I think that when he gets in those, if he can find a way to break out of slumps quicker and like, okay, yeah, easier said than done. But if he can do that, he's going to consistently post 900 1,000 OPSs every year, because you look at his numbers and you're like, okay, well, he had these great numbers, but then he had a month where he just was not good. Like, he had a really bad month. And then you take that, and if you look at that as like an outlier, then his other numbers are going to be way higher. And if you remember last year, like, he had an 800 OPS for a lot of the season last year too. So yeah, I mean, I think, I'm trying to see. Yeah. My biggest concern is Bogarts. I mean, Bogarts looked good today. I was happy to see that. That was a really good thing. I was happy that Darvish looked good. Darvish has been consistently pretty good against the Dodgers, but last year was a little bit of a down year. Got to stay healthy for him. Like I said, that's why I didn't really care that they pulled him early. It's early in the year. You can do that. Not a big deal. And plus, the other thing is, like, you got to see some of these bullpen guys, because someone's going to get sent down for Dylan Cease in, you know, what's that, by opening day, right? So I would be a little bit concerned about that. You're going to need a bounce back season from all these guys. I didn't really see anything from Manny today. I mean, he's DH, and you see him come up to the plate a couple times. That's about it. But you're going to need the heart of this order to absolutely ball out if the Padres are going to be a good team this year. You're going to have to see that. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. If you guys have any other questions about the game, just start sending them to me. I'll go through a couple more. Probably go live for a few more minutes here, like probably like 10 more minutes or so. But I'm down to keep going and talking to y'all. Also, I want to say this. Blake Snell looks weird. He looks weird in a Giants uniform. I don't know if you guys saw the video of him. I think it was last night in the Giants dugout. It looked so wrong. It looks so wrong on a lot of levels. So that was something there. Bullpen looked rough. I think two guys looked rough out of the pen. I don't think anyone else looked that bad. Yuki, should he be in the setup? He probably will. We didn't get to see Robert Suarez today. I'm assuming that they're going to use Matsui and Robert Suarez today. Matt, what do you think of Mike Schilt today? I just told you, like, the only thing I really didn't like was that I don't like when they do the thing where they keep the reliever in the inning, like, to come out in the next inning for one run. And I think that hurts them. I also thought the Padres looked a little bit, like, not disorganized, but the pitching clock violations were bad. Like, come on, guys. That's it's early in the year, so that's probably going to get cleaned up pretty quick. But you got to be in a better spot than that to be getting those. In terms of his moves, what was it? When Profar came down with the bunt, I thought that was, you know, good call there. Like, I like when you do a little bit of that small ball stuff. I didn't really think there was any spots where I was like, okay, well, here we are. They put in Brito and Morahone. They're still in the part of the season. They're still in, like, spring training form, where they're still trying to get a gauge of, like, who do we want in these spots. And I know they released their roster, but we might see some changes on the roster, like, you know, in the first couple weeks of the season. So they're still in that beginning part of, like, all right, what do we got? What do we need to go after? They're still feeling that stuff out. And we've talked about this before, but these first two games aren't exactly what their opening day roster was going to look like. We saw right when they went and traded for Dylan Cease that the first report was, Padres are not done. They're looking for an outfield. They're looking for another bat. They're coming out. We're looking for another bat. Okay. So that can still happen. That's probably going to happen. So we're not seeing this full team yet. This is more of, like, I know it's like the start of the season, but it's a little different because you still have a week until this actual season starts. I mean, I know these two games do count, of course, but you're going to need to see that. So I don't know. That's what I'm kind of thinking is, like, you're kind of, especially for the bullpen, like, you're going to see those guys. You saw Jeremiah Estrada today, right? Like, they're going to start throwing these younger guys to see, like, okay, what do we got? We got Brito. Let's see if we got, do we really want him in the, you know, the fifth rotation spot? Do we want Morahone? Are we going to trade Morahone? Maybe a team was interested in him and they're like, we want to see Morahone. Hopefully not. They don't look into today's outing too much, but, like, that can be a lot of this stuff where it's like, all right, these teams were asking about these guys. Let's throw them in there. Let's see what we got. Let's see how we can use these guys for trade chips. You know, we want to go after, I don't know, Jaron Duran, right, as an example, because he was talked about before, even though I don't think he's on the trade block anymore, or Sal Frelick, right? Those are a couple guys that were brought up a bunch. You know, well, okay, well, they wanted to see Brito in this one, and, you know, they wanted to see, I don't know, Cosgrove, whoever it is, right? Like, they want to see a couple arms. And it's like, okay, we're going to throw those guys. We got to show them in these two games. They're in that part of the season. Like, it's still early on. So I think I don't really mind. I don't think we can really blame Mike Schilt in, like, the first couple games. I thought they just lost because, I mean, the Cronenworth error is a big one. But like I said, that's kind of like the scapegoat play. But I think they lost because their hitting, it was not good. Their lineup was not good, and they were a little bit dysfunctional. They had four pitching clock violations, and I think three of them turned into walks, I want to say. So, yeah, I mean, you walk nine guys, you do that, you're going to lose those games. You have four hits and you walk nine guys, you're going to basically lose all of those games, even though you're winning late in the game there. So that's kind of where I'm at. But what else we got here? We're going to talk about the NFL offseason. Probably not really. Like, maybe we'll get into some conversations on some live streams if people ask questions, but not like going out of the way to do that. I feel like Cosgrove should be more high leverage. He might get into that spot. I wouldn't be surprised. He was really good last year. His numbers were awesome. I think the Darvis substitution was pretty good. Yeah, I think it was fine, man. We gave the Dodgers a tour of Seoul and our entire pitching staff. We did show them, like, yeah, was it eight pitchers came? Seven relievers in Darvish today. That's a lot of relievers. Like I said, you're going to throw seven relievers. A couple of them aren't going to come out, and they're going to have rough outings. That's just the reality. That's why when you have a starter go six, seven innings, it's a lot better. Why? Because you're going to get your high leverage guys. You're going to get Matsui. You're going to get Robert Suarez. You're going to get Cosgrove, right? You go one, two, three of those guys, and Darvish goes six innings, you might win that game. You might win that one 2-1. But when he goes out early, and that's what happens early in the season, you know, your starters aren't going to go that long. You're more susceptible to having a guy come in and get rocked. And that's what we saw a little bit today. And that's why, dude, that's why, like, that situation where they have the bases loaded, you got to capitalize in those spots. You know, you got to hit a bomb here or there. Like, you got to get a little bit of that. You need some more firepower on offense. And honestly, guys, like, if the Padres come out tomorrow and it looks ugly and their offense is like, they just get shut down again and they have three, four hits, might not be the worst thing in the world, because that might put Prell in a spot to be like, well, this year is for my job, so we're going to go get a bat. I wasn't sure about it. I wanted to see, and I get it's only two games, but like, maybe he's on the fence and it's just like he saw them get overmatched and he's like, yeah, we're going to go get a bat. We're going to go do that right now, because I was not sure if I wanted to get Brandon Bell or Tommy Pham or JD Martinez, but now it's like, all right, we might as well, because we definitely do. And just feeling out the lineup, seeing Cronenworth hitting third and stuff, it might just be enough to be like, all right, let's go make a couple moves. We're going to make this trade. We're going to do this. I will say the only thing I feel like confident about that was kind of up in the air coming into this year, I would be very surprised if we don't see Jackson Merrill starting in center field for the beginning part of the season at the very least. Like I said, I don't think he was overmatched. You know, he's fouling off a bunch of pitches from Glasnow, getting hard contact, driving out to center field. Didn't record a hit, but like, he's looking like his bat. Hopefully it plays, man. Like I said, you get an average year out of him in center. That's huge. So if he can do that, that's a massive win for them, because he's a cheap contract. You're developing him. They were talking about early in the broadcast about how those really good teams, they always have a prospect coming up every year. You always see, okay, this guy's coming up. You know, he's going to add some firepower. He's going to add some excitement. You get one of those guys up every year, that's a good sign. And that can be a pitcher. And the Padres have a lot of new faces, big time changes from last year. But from a developing a prospect standpoint, Jackson Merrill is their guy. Yeah, there's Graham Pauly. Yeah, you got, you know, a younger pitch, not necessarily younger, but newer pitchers in Michael King, Johnny Brito, right? Randy Vasquez. Like, you got different guys there. But I think that's the biggest thing, is like, you need a good year. If you get an average year out of him, that's going to be huge. But you still got to go add those other complimentary bats. Because let's be real. Jackson Merrill he's your ninth hitter. He's filling in for Trent Grisham. He should be able to be better than Trent Grisham. He should be able to be better. And that's good. But you're still going to need more pop. You lost Juan Soto in this lineup, and your lineup was still struggling last year. Now, you're hoping that the core of your lineup is going to bounce back. You're hoping that Manny, Tatis, Cronenworth, Bogarts, all those guys are going to have bounce back years. But the reality is probably two of them will and probably two of them won't. So you're still going to need more. You're still going to need – and like I already said, like, I don't think Pham's that crazy, but you're going to still need some stuff like that. Is Kim leading off against lefties? I mean, we don't know yet. We're not quite sure. I think maybe Kim hits against lefties sometimes. Bogarts will maybe slide down the order. I think it also probably depends on who's throwing, right? Like, let's say Kim is just absolutely raked off this guy that is throwing today. Maybe they lead him, they lead him off against a lefty like that. But maybe Bogarts is like, you know, he's hit better against this guy in his career or this type of pitcher. Let's go with him. And that's something I hope the Padres do a lot more of, is where it's really matchup dependent on what they're doing in their moves. Hacks, I think you're overreacting, man. I don't know if Tati's ever going to hit more than 30 home runs or hit above 275 again. We're one game in, man. And he ripped a couple. He fouled one off. It's early, you know. I think I don't know. I think it's way too early to be freaking out about Tatis. He'll probably come out tomorrow and hit one, you know, 450, and we'll be like, all right, that's right, Tatis back, and we'll get all excited. That's baseball, man. It takes a long time. You got to see a lot of stuff. Guys are slumping, but yeah, I mean, I think we'll see some of that. I still think that the biggest takeaway is the costly pitching clock violations and not having a good lineup yet. That's what you're gonna need. You're gonna need more of that. Hacks also came back here and said, AJ rushed Merrill. I think he should have been playing last year. I don't know. I think he may have rushed Merrill, but I think we're seeing that Merrill's not looking overmatched. He had a really good spring. He earned a roster spot. That's the thing. Like, we can say he rushed him, and that's what we've said. That's what Chase, Isaac, and I have all said. Chase is probably a little bit higher on him for this season than either Isaac and I. But, like, he looked good in spring. He earned a roster spot. And, like, that's what you need to see. Like, he did earn a roster spot. So, I'm kind of there. I was surprised not to see a home run from either teammate today. Dude, is that park really big? It feels like it is. I didn't look into the dimensions or anything like that, but it felt like it was really big, to be honest. I don't know if anyone knows them, but I was, like, watching. I was like, dude, these are, like, deep fly balls and, like, They're not really getting out. It doesn't really look like they're that close. Now, when they were hitting it down, Ohtani had one. I think it was Profar had one. I think Merrill had a bunch of guys had ones where they ripped them down the right field line, and they were like just foul, but it was like clearly going to be like way out of the park. But they were like a little early on some. That was about it. Where it was like, okay, this one's like actually giving a ride. Cronenworth kind of smacked one to like the track, and then I forgot who it was. Whoever on the Dodgers hit that one to. I forgot who it was. They hit it to Profar and left, and he made a nice running catch. That one was kind of roped, but yeah, it seemed pretty far. Like the park seemed pretty deep, and it's not like we talk about this, but it's not like it's like the crazy elevation stuff where it's like, you know, like Mexico City, where it's like I think their park is actually like kind of big, but I don't exactly remember the dimensions. But the ball just carries and carries and carries, and it was like a home run derby in that week. That was a fun week last year. And we were like, dude. Nelson Cruz, Matt Carpenter, man, they're pretty nice, actually. Yeah, it turns out they weren't, but it was a fun series in Mexico City against the Giants last year. This is a little bit different. Definitely a pitching game in this one. And when Chase and I did the preview, we talked about it. Like, there's not going to be a lot of runs scored in this one. The under hit today. No, I'm pretty sure Chase bet on the unders for both games. So his bet hit. What is it? Yeah, seven. I think the under was 8.5. So hit by 1.5. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, everyone says it plays big. That's what it kind of seemed like on TV, just watching it and watching how the ball was carrying. Left, right is short. Yeah, it's kind of like it's shorter on like down the line, and then it kind of just gets pretty big as you go up. But yeah, what else we got here? Honestly, I think that's kind of all I got right now. But yeah, guys, I'm gonna be back tomorrow. I'm gonna be breaking it down. If you guys aren't subscribed, please subscribe, like, do all that stuff. Appreciate that a lot. I mentioned it before, but if we do get to 3,000 followers, I'll give $100 to someone. If we can get to it by opening day, that's next Thursday. So if you're not subscribed, subscribe. I know like half the people that watch aren't subscribed, but appreciate that stuff. We'll be back tomorrow. I think it's going to be, you know, just looking in tomorrow real quick before I go. You got an interesting matchup. You got Joe Musgrove on the mound. He kind of got rocked early on in spring training. Really don't care that he got rocked early on in spring training. He was trying new pitches. He was like totally playing with this stuff. And it was like, yeah, okay, it doesn't matter, guys. He's a vet. He's just kind of going through it. Spring training does not matter for him at all. So I'm excited to see Joe Musgrove tomorrow. Hopefully we get some offensive bounce back. Hopefully people are talking about Fernando right now. Hopefully we see Fernando absolutely just demolish a baseball tomorrow. Hopefully we get a home run, a little more exciting game. I'm still waking up early. I got a nice morning ahead of me here because I'm in New York, so I woke up at 6 o'clock. But, I mean, it's a full day ahead of me, and I got that tomorrow too. So I don't really mind waking up this early. I don't ever do it, so it's kind of cool. But yeah, guys, I think that's gonna do it. I'll be back live tomorrow, 7 a.m. Pacific time again. And yeah, thank you all for listening. Hopefully the Padres bounce back. Excited to see Yamamoto. Excited to see all these guys. Hopefully we see Grant Paul in the lineup tomorrow. I think that's the move. Hopefully we see him in the lineup. Even though Tyler Wade did look, he had a couple hits. You know, he did all right. But we're going to need that heart of the order to step up. And if they don't do it, it's probably going to be the same outcome. I'll be honest with you guys. Probably going to be the same outcome if we don't see that heart of the lineup perform, because we need more pop. we're going to keep seeing that. And until they add it, I'm going to keep saying it. We'll see you guys soon. I'm excited for this one. It's going to be weird seeing Blake Snell in San Diego next week pitching against the Padres. I'm not really looking forward to that. But, yeah, guys, talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Go Padres, and hopefully they bounce back tomorrow. See y'all.